Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And what are you doing now?
Moving the camera around? It's not right, is it? It's not anywhere near right.
Well, that's because we didn't really do a test before we came on, did we? We didn't really do a test, nor did we think about what colours we were wearing. I like the green. I've gone for the green as well. We could have gone for home kits, couldn't we? We both got away shirts or something.
To be honest, I wasn't going to get changed. I just came in here and I was like, no, I'm too hot.
You're wearing a jumper.
I was like, I'm not going to survive this whole stream. So I went out and got changed and I just grabbed... Our bedroom currently looks like World War III is happening up there.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed the first thing that was in the wardrobe, which was... My green Spurs shirt.
Was the green Spurs shirt. And the bedroom looks like World War III because we're away for a couple of weeks, aren't we, as of tomorrow?
Yay.
So this is, we haven't got an FPL family for a couple of weeks now. So on this live stream, obviously, we'll be talking about game week 25, what's happened so far.
I think we'll only miss one.
We'll only miss one? Will we be back?
Because we get back the following Sunday morning.
So plane flight depending. So if we get back on time, we will do one a week Sunday.
Yeah.
But next week, we're not going to be here. But tonight... We are obviously here. We're live. Thank you for joining us. Game week 25 is partway through, Sam. So, of course, this is the big double game week. If you'd have said to me who is going to be the biggest XG underachiever so far this game week come Sunday night, you would say Man City's Erling Haaland, wouldn't you? That everyone has triple captained with an XG underachievement of minus 1.58. So there we go.
Three huge, huge chances.
Big, big chances for everyone's triple captain. And I'd like to know, guys, if you're in tonight and you didn't captain Haaland or if you triple captain someone else, I'd love to know who you did because there will be a few out there that triple captain Jota. Might even have been a few captain Darwin Nunez as well. We've got to talk about the injury situation at Liverpool because that hasn't helped. Over the course of Saturday morning. Some of you will have the Luton striker Adebayo who got injured in the warm-up today against Manchester United. So loads to discuss. Lots to still happen this game week.
Stupinian benched again.
Three or four games still to go this week. We'll look ahead to game week 26 as well because after this big double game week 25 is done, we're then into a blank. And we know this, right? And we're talking about whether we're going to use the free hit, whether we're going to use maybe a wild card or whether we're just going to stumble through game week 26 somehow. And you're right, Purvis is stupid now and all of a sudden becomes a bit of a talking point because benched today. Benched. And there was a little bit of narrative, I think, and even I was peddling this, that I didn't think he didn't track Brennan Johnson for that winner against Spurs the other week. And I do wonder whether De Zerbi's kind of just, I wouldn't call it a punishment as such, but it was almost like, you know, you don't track your runners, Purvis, then, you know, you're going to be prepared to get benched.
I said to Az on the Q&A on whatever day we did that Friday, I was like, I benched a Stupinian this week. I didn't like doing it against Sheffield United, but I did it on the basis that I wasn't 100% sure
that
he was going to get the start.
Absolutely. Turned out to be what we thought it might be, which was a bit of a shocker for Sheffield United. I mean, I tweeted at the time, and I don't know what Mason Holgate's playing at, quite honestly, to go in that high on Mitoma and with...
That early in the game as well.
But it was the intent, I think, and I don't like speaking ill of anybody, but there seemed to be an intent to want to get Mitoma there, I thought, from Holgate. And when the ref kind of gave him a yellow, I thought the ref is surely just using the yellow as a delay to give the red via VAR.
Intent to get Mitoma or just intent... Like, sometimes I didn't see it.
There's no
I was
intent
busy.
To get the ball, put it that way.
No, but sometimes I think... I wonder whether... And it's difficult because we obviously weren't in the Sheffield United dressing room, but I think sometimes when you're in this position at the bottom of the league, what the manager says and the way that he hypes those players and then the way that those players take that hype, depending upon what type of character you are, if you're being told, go in... Be strong, be brave, commit, because we need all the points we can get if we want to stay in the league. If you're the sort of character that is a bit more aggressive in your style of play, sometimes it comes out in the wrong way, I guess.
Have you seen it, though?
I have seen it.
He does go purposely high. I mean, there's aggression. I don't want to talk about it for too much longer, but he's for a player that's on loan somewhere like Sheffield United, trying to get some minutes and make an impact... He's let his team down badly there. And Brighton go on to win, what was it, in the end, 5 or 6-0? I kind of tuned out a little bit after sort of 2-0 because I just thought, well, Sheffield United aren't getting back
in this.
As
a gross owner, though, I'm a little bit disappointed.
Well, we got to talk about that. We'll talk about that later on because he's a really nice differential for you this week, coming in clutch with the 8 points. But in a 5-0 win, you're kind of like, oh, I wish you'd actually got a bit more. Particularly the first two goals, assisting the assist. You're like, ah, oh, Pascal gross. But still, 2 bonus points.
Maybe I'll join the bandwagon of asking for points for assist of the assists on this week's pod.
Maybe. He was in the top 4 as well, by the way. So after Haaland being the top XG underachiever so far this weekend. Alanga, Solanke are the next two. And then it is Pascal Gross with a minus 0.9, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. So, yeah, bang. I want to say bang. Unlucky. Unlucky if you're a Gross owner, right? Because 8 points was the minimum you had. I mean, you take it because he's a nice differential, but could have been incredible haul for Pascal Gross, no doubt about it. Let's get into the chat and say hello to a few people, Sam. We've got subscriber-only mode on tonight, guys. So if you are joining us and it's maybe your first time tuning into FPL Family, hit that subscribe button. Thank you to everyone that's done that over the last couple of weeks. We've just gone over 26,000 subscribers, Sam. 26,000 of you tuning in at some stage throughout this FPL Family journey. So thank you to everyone that's hit the subscribe button. And if you want to join in the chat, then you need to hit that button if you want to leave a comment. So here are some people that have done that, Sam. Brian Springer is in. How are we doing, Brian? Very nice to see you. John Robert Knight is here. Good to see you, mate. Daniel Banks, FPL Shorts. We've got Jason Stilling is in. We've got Mahomi Daniel Banks, who I've already mentioned him twice.
Craig, so good, you mentioned him twice.
So good, Daniel Banks. I mentioned him twice. Craig Keegan is here. Wish I did a minus eight to get Salah in now. He will haul at home to Luton.
Yeah, you know but, what? It's... Yeah, but the thing is, if Jota doesn't get injured, Salah gets 20 minutes. So you couldn't possibly know that he was going to get 60 odd minutes, a goal and an assist. And now, because of injuries, look almost set to start in the second game as well.
You know what? I've watched, obviously, a lot of the stuff with him in the gym. He looks really happy, obviously. The stuff Liverpool put on YouTube and social media, of course he's going to look happy. It's Mo Salah. I'm not going to make him look down in the dumps, are you? But still, there was an interesting narrative there. And when I saw him on the bench for that game, I thought, there's no way he ain't coming on and scoring. Even if he gets 10 minutes, he'll score.
Well, yeah.
But what happened was, obviously, Jota gets the bad injury. He comes on, gets the majority of the game. And anyone that did bring him in, absolutely fair play, because it's one of the only times this season where Salah's going to be a differential. I think under 20% owned, right?
Around my rank, he's 9%.
So if you brought him in, and even if, and I think it would have been incredibly ballsy to captain him over someone like a Haaland or a De Bruyne this game week. But if you did do that, I want to hear from you, because that is what you call ballsy and absolutely brilliant. A couple of super chats, Simon, already. Thank you for the super chats, guys. Kenz is in. Hey, Kenz, nice to see you, mate. Evening, both single game weekers smashed it so far. It
always
does,
though.
Does feel a bit like that, doesn't it?
Always. We always peddle the kind of... I was going to use the word narrative. I'll pick something different. We always peddle the idea that,
Jordan,
you know...
won't like it if you're on narrative as well.
No,
mate.
No. Don't overlook the single game weekers with great fixtures. There was a lot of people, and all right, we, you know, Salah's obviously still got the second game to play. There are a lot of people that were doing things ridiculous, like selling Saka this week.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it going, but he's got Burnley. You can't sell Saka ahead of Burnley. People selling crazy players, selling Watkins, who also did great stuff this week. You know, you have to be really careful when you've got double game weeks, that you go in the right ways.
Yeah, and Arsenal just on the back of two unbelievable performances and results.
I mean,
Liverpool was the first one. Then they smashed, was it West Ham? Yeah, West Ham,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and smashed, then obviously now they've smashed Burnley now.
And now Burnley as well. And honestly, we've got to talk about them because they are playing so, so well. Really, really good. Super chat from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph. Really nice to speak to you in the week, mate, on the Zoom call. Hi, Sam and Lee. What a game week so far. It was great to catch up on Wednesday. There we go. Yes, it was, Joseph. Nice to speak to you. Good to meet you. And thanks, Sam, for the Rodri tip. So there we go. There's a little bit of advice that you've been giving out to people that you did not take. And there he is. He's popped up with the goal. Who'd have thunk it? Absolutely
so
unreal.
I am absolutely... Right, I should explain my reaction to that, because that's not about you getting the points, Joseph, at all. Like, all you guys, absolutely thrilled. Because there was a lot of you actually in the Slack on Saturday evening.
Few of them
being
did
like,
go for
yes,
Rodri,
Sam,
then.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you did.
And I was like, great, I'm really glad it's worked out for you. On the flip of that, I had to deal with a certain Frenchman and
he
his...
Him, didn't he?
Honestly.
And I think you talked him into keeping Saka as well, didn't you, Jules Laurent? Because he was going to sell Saka for Salah,
yeah, but he was
going
to sell him for Salah. So he was having a right old pop at me earlier on in the day, because obviously Salah had gone off and Saka hadn't done anything. I was at Spurs and was like, well, hold your horses, because if Saka goes off, you'll be all right. And then when Rodri scored, I was like, you are joking me. Because I really wanted Rodri and I couldn't bring myself to sell Gross to do it after Gross's performances in the last couple of weeks.
Could not.
So, yeah, there we are.
You were right to hold Gross, right? Well, he could have had a monster.
It's annoying.
Nigel the Crab is inside, but as usual, is here. Very nice to see you, mate. Thank you for the very generous super chat, mate. Really appreciate that. Safe travels, Mr. and Mrs. B. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My game week,
A Dringa out for
Berenson Diaz. Nice. Muniz on the bench. Nice differential that actually Joseph and I spoke about Muniz during the week. And I don't think Joseph went there either. Muniz on the bench. Bought in Hoyland, though. Nice.
Okay, well, that one's all right.
Garnacho and Salah, so decent. Can't break through. 10.3 million overall rank. Looking forward to the season ending. Simon, this is why we and everyone else in the live chat and in the Patreon love you, mate, because you don't take it too seriously. 10.3 million overall rank. I don't know if anyone else in the whole live chat that I know of in IRL even.
Yeah, but I reckon...
My brother, who hasn't played the game since game week 9, I don't think he's 10.3 million.
Should we have a look?
No, don't. Make Simon believe worse.
Si, look, the reality is you've got Salah, and if he starts against Luton in midweek, which I think he's going to have to now... then you could have an absolute hatful out of him. So,
yeah,
don't be too upset yet.
Or all the players in and around his rank at 10.3 have all got Mo still from game week 1.
Don't burst his bubble. He'll struggle again. I just tried to bring him back up, and then you've ruined it.
Sorry, sir. I do apologise. The super chats are coming thick and fast, Sam, tonight. Thank you guys for your generosity. Much appreciated. Andy Natras is in. Hey, Andy. Hi, Sam and Lee. What a nightmare. Haaland has turned into the new Darwin. Andrew, listen, we've got another game to go yet. Arguably the better of the two games based on how Brentford defended against us. I would fancy City to go and put a few past them. The triple captain curse strikes again. It does feel as if, certainly in previous and recent memory in FPL, we have had a few game weeks where the triple captaincy curse does feel quite real. If you remember, there was one game week and one season where it was a lot on Josh King or Emmanuel Dennis for a double Watford.
We had the
right
one, though, if you remember, because we didn't get the minus points for
Well,
Dennis.
We had the moral high ground, didn't we? Because I think, if I remember, King. Josh King didn't get sent off, whereas Emmanuel Dennis
I don't think we triple captained, though, did we? I think we held our triple captain.
There was a lot of TCs, though.
I seem to remember I was like, I'm not triple captaining a Watford player. This is silly.
A lot of people did. And then you think back to the Shane Duffy
thing Kane last
a few
year.
Seasons ago. Shane Duffy, remember
didn't
that?
I didn't do that either. And I didn't do Mane
when he got injured in the first game.
I did Firmino that year.
Something about the triple captaincy, Andy, that I don't know, just brings
have you done all of them?
These things
no,
to the fore.
No, you didn't do Duffy.
I didn't do the Watford either, I don't think. Like you, I was just like, how are we using this chip? At least this season we can go, well, we played it on Haaland. If it doesn't work out, it was a really obvious decision,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Absolutely no way, surely, that Haaland blanks in the second game.
I wouldn't have thought so, but let's see. Jason Styling, thank you for the super chat, mate. Due to injuries, had the wild card set up with Mo in. As soon as I knew he was on the bench, he hit confirm. So that is nice, Jason. That means you are now in a decent position.
Also means you haven't played the triple captain this week because you can't do two chips in a week. So now you got that for another week.
True. So the TC is in the bag for Jason, ready for another week. Which, you know, listen, it could go off, couldn't it, against Brentford. And then all us triple captainers are going, yeah, absolutely should have done. It was the right thing to do. But at the moment, Jason, that is looking like a good decision, mate. So like it. Sam, let's get into, before we talk about obviously our scores on our overall ranks and how we're doing and all that sort of stuff, let's talk about a couple of the games. Is there any that you would particularly like to start with, or should I just pick one?
You pick one.
I will pick one, and I will pick Manchester City 1, Chelsea 1, because I thought, say it quietly, and I've given him a fair amount of stick so far this season, so I'm very, very happy. I remember pre-Christmas, I was saying, will it be gone by Christmas?
You said by Halloween at one point.
Because it really was a scary October for Chelsea fans. But they're starting to look all right and get their act together. And they were, I'm going to say it, I thought they were the better side that night.
Okay.
I thought Chelsea were the better side.
Okay.
Don't agree?
Well.
Okay.
I don't think we can say they're getting their act together because they're not consistently doing that. They're not consistently good. That's the problem. Is that one week...
FPL Harry in the chat, just as we talk about
Harry.
Chelsea. He's just gone, hello.
Hello, Harry.
Just as we talk about Harry.
We should have talked about Harry's double Luton defence, shouldn't we? How's that going, Harry?
Kaminsky got a couple of save points, though.
Oh, did he?
A couple of save points. There you go. He played very well, actually, Kaminsky.
Yeah. He also nearly messed it royally up, didn't he, when he came flying out of his goal? Was it not for his defender?
I honestly don't know. And if there are any Luton fans in, tell me. I doubt if there are. We know a couple based on where we live. how they do not have a weekly heart attack with that goalkeeper. He comes flying out all the time, doesn't
just
he?
Flew out and then
he just comes flying off his line. Like, what are you doing?
It was the best bit about that was you went, oh, that's a red arrow incoming because Garnacho was through a goal on his own. And then somehow the defender got there. Anyway, back to Chelsea. I'm not saying that they weren't the better side. I'm not saying that they didn't play well in this one. I agree with what you just said about that. What I am saying is that they're not consistent. That's my issue with Chelsea.
Yeah, just when you think they've turned the corner.
So you have these moments, like against Aston Villa in the cup, and I was like, great, they've turned a corner, things are looking better. The week after, they were shocking. Then we have this, a really good performance. What are they going to do in the League Cup? Who knows?
Could be shocking.
What are they going to do in game week 27? Who knows? Could be brilliant. And that's the problem with Chelsea.
They have looked better in recent weeks. Come on, you have to say there's been improvement there.
All right, but are you seriously suggesting that you would invest in anybody else other than Palmer?
Well, let's have a look at the fixtures. I think I did a fixtures thing. Yeah, here we go. So Chelsea, obviously, no one's going to invest ahead of 26 because of the blank. So we're going to cut this pretty short, this conversation. After that, though, Brentford, Newcastle, two defences you definitely think they can get at. Then the Arsenal game is obviously a biggie. Burnley at home, I mean, those three in particular, and Newcastle conceding for fun right now. I'm more than happy to hold Palmer.
So I'll ask you my question again. Apart from Palmer?
Well, no, probably not. But we are getting to the point of the season, Sam, where we're in game week 26, 27, 28. We are rapidly approaching, say it quietly, the home stretch, aren't we? And the people that are not in, you know, if you're 10.3 million, like our friend Mr. Crab, you're going to need a couple of differentials. You're going to need an Nkunku to come in. You're going to need to have a punt on a Sterling.
Yeah, but you can't have a punt on Sterling, for goodness sake. He doesn't hardly play. This is my issue. And then you've got Gusto, who I think a lot of people probably have and would have held. But Reece James has pictured himself with boots and stuff. You know, maybe that doesn't mean anything. We've seen people picture themselves in boots and on grass before, and it means absolutely nothing. But, you know, we have got changing situations at Chelsea, and I just look at them and go, apart from Palmer, there is nobody there that's consistently saying, have me in your FPL team.
All right, let's stop that conversation, because then they've got a blank next week, so we'll talk about them
pointless.
In a bit. Man City, talk about them then, because they are not pointless. Despite getting only a point here and dropping a couple of points in the title race, obviously all the assets are still on the radar, and what you've got, you hold, right?
Yeah, because most people have got three.
Yeah,
and
completely.
So
Which three have you got?
Foden. No, I haven't got Foden. Who have I got? Harlan, I've got Haaland, KDB, and Ake.
I know your team better than you do.
No, I couldn't. In my head, I had. What I was going to say is, I haven't got Foden.
He just went Foden. He's the one you haven't got.
He's the one I haven't got. I wish I had. Yeah, so I've got them three.
So good.
And that part of the reason that I didn't this week have Rodri is because I had the Pedro Porro issue that arose itself. And I was like, oh, I've got Pedro Porro as a problem now. The obvious replacement for Porro was Ake, because no one else was really interesting in the defence this week. I could have gone for the double up of the Arsenal defence. That was something that I considered, and that would have worked out well this week. But I just felt like having three City was quite important, and Ake felt like the right way to do that.
De Bruyne joint first, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, for chances created this game with eight. Now, obviously, on a lot of set pieces, etc. So they were of reasonable quality, but I wouldn't say they were big chances. Not all big chances. They were chances created. Joint with a certain Mr. Pascal Gross, by the way. So
yeah, both my players.
Doubly unlucky not to get points from either of those. And top for crosses as well, Kevin De Bruyne, this weekend. So, listen, very, very involved. Don't see him in the XG underachievers, but I bet your life he's in the XA underachievers if I had that stat in front of me. So a little bit unlucky not to get anything out of Kevin De Bruyne. And, of course, Haaland, you know, an XG delta of minus 1.58. So, as I said before, top for XG underachiever.
One of those,
so
though, right? If
should
Haaland
have had
finishes,
some
KDB's getting points as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was one header, wasn't there, I think, where KDB crossed it in for a Haaland attempt. And it was just like, well, there would have been an absolute hatful of points from that one miss, you know. But they will be lamenting those misses because Chelsea get the points. So fair play.
That's twice this season, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, wasn't it four all at Stamford Bridge or something?
Yeah,
stupid.
It was. They've taken points from them in both matches,
fair
two draws.
Fair play to Chelsea. Yeah, fair play. I think they are improving, Chelsea. And just in time to face us in the League Cup final.
Well, let's see.
Wonderful.
If they take this performance and play well, the good thing about them not playing in 26 is that we can now go, all right, well, let's watch them in the League Cup final and see how they are. Because if they consistently do it again, then maybe we can look back at them. But
absolutely,
I'm not convinced that they will.
All right, their opponents in the League Cup final, of course, my team, Liverpool.
I didn't see much of this game because I was travelling. So you'll have to lead the way on this.
Yeah, obviously delighted with the win. And, you know, potential what looked like first sort of 20, 25 minutes of banana skin game.
Playing well at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, I sit here every Sunday and I say, well, you will get chances against Liverpool next week in the League Cup final. Chelsea will get chances, right? They've just got to fall to the right players. We gave Brentford a chance. I think there was a sort of 0.4, 0.5 XG even after half an hour in this game and when it was 0-0. So you will get chances against us. But we are just scoring like tons of goals in a minute. Tons and tons of goals.
Will you continue to score tons and tons of goals without players like Jota, without Darwin Núñez, if we don't know about Núñez yet, we're assuming that Jota won't be there, but what's your view on that? Obviously, Salah back is a help.
It is a help.
Gakpo came on and did well. Yes. Got a goal.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to bring a sub on, Salah's not a bad sub to bring on. Right? But you're right. We do have to think about, Jota, and we do have to think about Darwin and wait to see what's happening with those guys. I'm pretty sure a lot of FPL managers are going to be selling those guys anyway. Because of the blank coming up. So if you did bring in Liverpool players for this week, there's a reasonable chance that you did it just for this game. And you got, you know, in the case of Jota and Darwin, you got some returns, you know, maybe not as many as you would have liked. The goal that they combined for, by the way, was like, that is, I'm not joking, that is assist of the season from Jota. It's so good. It's so good for it to come out that sky that high and for him to do a cushioned header straight in the path of where Darwin wants it. is an unbelievably difficult thing to do. Like, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not comparing myself to Diogo Jota, but the amount of times, you know, I play on a Monday night and the ball goes up that high and you just get your head on it is one thing, right? And then I'm like a 50 pence piece. It sort of bounces off and goes over the fence. But Jota sort of like cushioned it
into... I can't believe that you have compared your old man, dad, football thing on a Monday night.
To Liverpool
and Jota. I honestly cannot believe that you've sat here
and suggested
there's anything remotely similar about what you do on a Monday night.
And I'll tell you what, I can also confidently say that I've never finished a goal like Darwin Núñez.
Particularly when you come home on a Monday night with your legs bleeding because the ball's been in a thorn bush.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see that happening to Jota.
This is what happens on a Monday night when I play football. You have to go into the thorny bushes to get the balls out once you've hoofed it over the fence.
Why are you hoofing it over the fence?
Because I'm not very good, Sam.
So why are you comparing yourself to Jota?
It's making a point. But the finish from Darwin Núñez, like...
He'd be a better one to compare to.
Again, with him, though, I'm like, that is really poor shot selection, isn't it? I mean, what's he doing? Why is he chipping the keeper when the keeper's not even gone down? What are you doing? I mean, it's a wonderful finish. But it's so unnecessarily extravagant. Just put it in the corner, Darwin. Or just wait for the keeper to take a touch. Keeper goes down, you dink him.
Yeah, but Darwin can't do anything easy.
He's just like, just score the easy way, Darwin. Don't try and miss.
No, Darwin's, what are you doing? Darwin's personality is...
Oh, God.
If it's worth doing, it's worth doing the hard way.
He can't do it simple. He's just like, the keeper doesn't even go down. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to dip it over you. It's like, what are you doing? Anyway, really good goal. We've got to wait to see what the injuries look like. But for sure...
I'd be surprised to see Jota.
Those who look out. But I don't want to talk too much more about Liverpool because blank game week, we're probably going to be selling them, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But with Mo back... Obviously, after the blank game week, we're all going to be wanting Mo back. I'm probably not going to get him into a wild card. And that is a bit scary. Because we've got, I think, Forest. Let's have a look. I think it's Forest and then City. Let me see. Yeah, Forest away, City. And then we're into wild card territory. I'm pretty sure I'm going to want him for that Merseyside derby. And then Brighton and then Sheffield United. Without a doubt, Sheffield United. And we have to wait and see what 29 looks like. That could be a blank as well, couldn't it?
Yeah, but I think I might end up... Well, yeah, it depends on what happens with 29. So, in theory, you could just be missing for Man City, 28, and then losing for a blank anyway, and then I'd get him on wildcard. If you are out of the FA Cup, which we'll find out middle of next week, and you've got a game in 20...
Where are we playing?
In the FA Cup.
Southampton, I think. So.
You've got Southampton,
Chat will tell me if I'm right or wrong.
No, you have got Southampton. That's middle of next week. Then I think it doesn't...
You'd back us, wouldn't you? You'd back us, you'd get
well, yeah,
that.
You would back you, yeah. And that would make a difference, I think, in terms of our thinking on Liverpool assets. And maybe then I look at rejigging my squad a little bit. And maybe De Bruyne isn't De Bruyne. Maybe De Bruyne is Salah's position and I get Foden instead of De Bruyne, or I manage my City investment slightly differently because their double will be over.
We can do a Jota then, because you know, we'll wait to see, but it doesn't look good for
him. I was going to sell anyway.
Okay, to who? Where are you going?
Well, that is a very good question, Lee, from FPL Family.
Why I asked it.
So it's difficult, actually, because the players that I would quite like to have looked at are players that don't play necessarily this week. I will look to invest in a player that plays in game week 29, because that, to me, is the most obvious and sensible thing to do.
And remind us of who those teams are, if you know off the top of your head. I mean, Brentford are one, aren't they?
So Brentford and Burnley, Fulham and Spurs, West Ham and Aston Villa.
I already know where this is going.
Well, can't invest in Spurs because we don't have a game.
Oh, we've got the blank. Yeah.
Which is where I would have gone.
Madison or Richie, yeah.
Yeah, had we had a game. So I'm kind of then looking at... So my eyes this week, and maybe this leads us into another game to talk about, were on West Ham, because I was thinking, well, if Bowen plays well in this one, or Kudos plays well... Well, no, clearly not after this next performance.
They were so bad again.
But in my head, that's what I'd been thinking. I'll go Jota down to a West Ham midfielder, and then I've got extra money in the bank, and I can use that money if I suddenly need to get to Salah. I can deploy that elsewhere across my team. However, West Ham...
Not good.
Appalling again.
Not good. Absolutely.
So I can't really go there. So then I'm sort of looking at Aston Villa, and I'm thinking, well, I've already doubled up on Aston Villa with Martinez and with... Watkins, and I don't really want to treble up, I don't think.
We'll have this conversation more as we get towards our teams, because I've got the same dilemma with Darwin Nunez, but I think that's easier.
Yours is more obvious.
I think that's easier because there's lots of options there, right? Not least Dom Solanke, we've got to talk about in a bit, right? So I think there's plenty of options for us Darwin owners. I think Jota is a little bit more difficult.
Particularly for you Darwin owners who don't have Solanke.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Yeah, I've got to talk about him in a bit because that is the jammiest double-digit haul you'll ever see in your life.
Shush now.
Oh, don't even get started on the Solanke haul.
No,
jammy.
Stop it immediately.
What?
Because there were two opportunities early on in that game where before we got any attacking returns, before Dubravka decided to fall over and give him a goal, he should have had two more. I couldn't fathom it.
Guys, I could not believe it.
28 points from him.
I could not believe it. Every season we have loads of these.
What?
Where the swing between points for you and me is unreal.
What are you talking about?
You slice a luck. My keeper
Your
slips
keeper's
over.
An idiot and he's not wearing the right
not
boots.
An idiot.
And he falls over.
My keeper slips over.
It's wet. Wear proper studs.
And not only does he slip over and lose his clean sheet, but in doing so, gives it to your striker
and?
Who gets two bonus points.
Yes.
Then your striker goes on and gets an assist, which is basically a sideways pass for a worldie.
Gorgeous pass.
Oh, shh.
Perfect pass in
what
the perfect place for a worldie goal that follows.
Not
no,
having it.
I'm not
Solanke
having this.
Owners, jam.
I'm not
Absolute
having this because
jam.
Solanke
You take
had,
it, right?
But he could jam. Have had two goals before that one. In fact, you're blimmin' lucky, Bonfield.
All right.
You're blimmin' lucky that he didn't have another 8 points and an extra bonus point. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Solanke owners, you are jammy this week. You are jammy.
You are outrageous tonight.
Absolute jam for Solanke owners. Brentford, talk to me. Ivan Toney. Been very, very good since he's come back, right?
Has been very, very good since he's come back. And I did very, very nearly take a -4.
Tempting, isn't it? Tempting.
For either, and I couldn't decide which one to remove, Watkins or Solanke. And in the end, I was like, do you know what? I can't take either of these guys out. I just can't bring myself to do it. And so because of that, I went without Toney. And I knew that was going to punish me across this game week. I was hoping it wasn't going to be in this game because I would have felt better if he hadn't have returned in the first game. That at least it was going to be. Whereas now, he very easily could return in both of these. And for the fact that it was Blimmin' Reguilón, who we've been talking about all week, to get the assist as well was really annoying. But yeah, Ivan Toney, he's one of those that I'm going to struggle with, though, because I can't sell Watkins or Solanke because they both play in blank game week 29. And of course, Solanke also has the double in 28, plus the really lovely fixture in 27. Can't get rid of them. Haaland, I mean, if you don't start returning, I'm joking. but Haaland's obviously a lock. So it basically rules me out of being able to get Toney, which I don't love.
It is hard, isn't it?
It's
hard. He was top for shots, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, with 8 this week. To put that into context, the next best was Adringa with 6. And then Hoyland with 3.
He was great today.
So, he was. He's very, very good. But, yeah, so Ivan Toney top for shots with 8 across the game week. So, definitely getting in amongst it. Again, that tells you everything you need to know about how many opportunities we offer up as well, right? Yeah. So they weren't, I remember watching, obviously watched the game, they weren't high quality Tony shots, if you know what I mean.
No.
Except for the goal. Obviously the goal's a good shot and a high XG chance. But yeah, he's definitely tempting me because again, you look at the fixtures.
For Darwin.
And Darwin to Tony is tempting. I mean, you look at game week 28 and you go, you just have to have Solanke for Sheffield United and Luton at home, don't you? You just have to. But if you didn't have to and you fancied going Tony instead,
there's no reason against it.
It's just that in that same game week, he goes to Arsenal.
But there's no reason why you couldn't have Tony for 26.
Yeah,
and
entirely
then move
possible.
Him again.
Switch him up. Yeah, switch him up. Because we were just then lamenting about how bad West Ham were against Forest this week and how bad they were against Arsenal last week. Well, guess who Tony plays in 26?
And the problem I have with Brentford, apart from Reguilón, who, you know, is Reguilón, but actually now I think looks an all right investment because West Ham are so bad that the clean sheet might even stick for him that week. It is quite hard. I still like Matthias Jensen. I was talking about him on the pod this week. I still do like him as an option. But those midfielder slots, like if you had, like we did in years gone by, if you had Mbeumo in that position and he was fit and available, you'd go there, wouldn't you? 100% for Brentford's fixtures because it would take up that midfielder slot rather than these forward slots, which I kind of feel are a bit...
Yeah.
They're locked and you can't move them around very easily at the minute.
I just want to give a shout out to, not that I'm getting him in FPL or anything like it, but Morpi, which I don't like him much as a player, but...
He just winds everyone up.
He's just a wind-up merchant, isn't he? But
his relationship with Tony is good,
it's coming along, isn't it? It's coming along.
It's good.
And I think Thomas Frank has sort of rekindled that Tony and Mbeumo partnership. And Mbeumo's obviously still out for a bit with his injury. Morpi's come in and he and Tony have kind of hit it off and they're working quite well together. So
Tony needs that. He needs that
good.
Partner.
Yeah, it's good. The way they're working together is good. And it's more, that's more a comment on, that leans me towards Tony more than I'm going out to get Morpi. I'm not doing that. But, you know, I don't mind Tony. I'm just looking at the fixtures and going, well, for next week, yes, absolutely. Away at West Ham, the way they're defending, I love a bit of Tony. But then next week, in 27,
you'd rather have
you want to have Solanke because Tony's got Chelsea at home. Well, yes, of course he can score, but Solanke's got Burnley. Then he's got this amazing double game week where he's clearly the captaincy choice for 28. And then Wolves, Everton, Palace. I mean, after that City game, Solanke's a lock, I think, until at least 31. I haven't looked at the fixtures from 32 onwards, but
also, would it,
they're half decent. I'm keeping.
You know, like we saw Chelsea, who, sorry, Harry, but they haven't exactly been on great form. They score against Man City. They go out there putting a performance. I don't think there's any reason why Solanke couldn't.
He could score at home
score.
To City. Yeah,
like it's not
so,
the,
yeah.
For me. I'm playing him because it's 26. It's a blank.
You've got to.
I have 11 players, which I'm not quite sure how that's happened.
Forward planning is that how that's happened, Sam? Well done.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Well, because I sold Porro, didn't I?
Yeah.
One of them is Purvis Estupiñán.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a nice little segue. So let's go and talk about Brighton then. So absolutely smashed Sheffield United 5-0 at home. Nothing to say about Sheffield United other than Holgate, you are a muppet. And, you know, target them because despite a decent win against Luton last game week, they just look proper bad in this game. Or was it that Brighton were really good? Because Adringa, obviously coming back from two assists in the AFCON final, comes in and scores a couple of goals. He looked absolutely brilliant, Adringa.
Absolutely. I think there's a bit of both. And it's what happens when you're playing against 10 men and 10 men that tired quickly. And a Brighton team that, well, wanted to bounce back as well from what happened in the Spurs game.
Losing that
game late on was a bit of a killer for them. And they tired in that game. This time, they really pushed through and they put Sheffield United to the sword. And I think, you know, I kept Gross on the basis that I just didn't
good
feel...
Hold that.
Yeah, I just didn't feel I could sell him. And I wanted to
good
sell him
hold.
For Rodri. And maybe I've still done the wrong thing by doing that. Because obviously, Rodri's already returned well. The first game, if he returns again in the second, I'll be absolutely fuming. But Gross has felt like a really nice differential for me over the last couple of weeks. He's done really well. And he gave me a 20k green arrow today. When
I think it
assist.
Was a really good hole because I know how close you were to... You definitely did want to go for Rodri.
I did, yeah, I really did.
And I think because of the fixture you held, I think it's a really disciplined bit of FPL play because he was everywhere. He was involved. I'm just looking at the touches in the opponent's half metric on the members area at Scout. He's top. He's across the whole game with more than De Bruyne. Billy Gilmore, actually, is second. So it's Gross and Gilmore from Brighton, which I guess you would expect because, you know, they're a man down or they've got a man more than Sheffield United for most of the game. But still, to be that involved. He was in the middle of absolutely everything. And like I say, unlucky, actually, Gross Owens, to just get the eight. Unlucky, because he could have had more.
I do feel a bit like it was unlucky. I think, you know, Edringer was incredible today. Absolutely fantastic. I do slightly caveat that with Brighton, actually, I thought were good against Spurs for most of the game the week before. So I don't think that this is like a one-off. The week before that, they were awful. Mm-hmm.
Want to double up on the Brighton midfield? You've got Gross. I mean, Everton up next at home. Fulham. Forest at home in 28 before it then gets a little bit more difficult with City, Liverpool and Brentford away. So the next three don't look too bad. I mean, is it, you're talking about a Jota replacement. I know you've got Gross, but both Adringa and Mitoma were very good today. Mitoma picking up the two assists as well.
Yeah, they were really good today, but I don't know. I mean, it sort of feels like I need to use my So there's two strategies at play here. So my plan originally and still remains to dead end my team through 29. So if I'm dead end my
and
wild card in 30. Yeah. So if I'm still planning that strategy, which I am, I have to think really carefully about who's the best player to get with this Jota replacement, because they have to give me something going into game week. Into game week 29, the blank.
But you're looking at players for the next four game weeks, aren't you, really? If you're planning to wildcard 30, you just want a Jota replacement that over the next four is going to deliver.
Yes, and they have to play.
Yeah.
Importantly, they have to play in 30. Matoma's,
I don't think Matoma's a bad shout, you know.
No, but Mitoma doesn't play in game week 29 at the moment.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
So I have to think really carefully about...
We need more information, don't we?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get that before game week 26 because obviously going into game week 26, the FA Cup fixtures are in the midweek that follows game week 26. So at that point, we'll know what we're doing. So I might just have to accept that the transfer I make this week, Jota to whoever, isn't necessarily going to be... The other option I have is to leave Jota and deal with Estupiñán.
Okay, well, listen, Well, actually, I was going to move on to the next game, but you're right. Estupiñán is probably worthy of conversation because at the moment, even with a minus four next week, I'm still going to be just about rocking 11, and one of them is Estupiñán.
But he'll come on and get one if he doesn't start. So,
I want him starting against, Everton at home next?
Well, you do want him starting, but there's no guarantees that he's going to.
Yeah.
And this is my issue with him, is that like today they lock in a clean sheet, he comes on in the 81st minute, and for most people that's fine because a lot of people have benched him this week. But going into next week, you need him, and you can't be carrying a 5 million defender. That's the issue.
But the reality is, I'm not going to take him out for another minus four and go up to like an eight or whatever to swap him for someone that I know is going to play. I'm just going to take that risk, aren't I?
Well, so I obviously have 11 playing players at the moment. He is one of them.
Okay.
So what I could do is leave Jota on the bench till next week and get a Spurs midfielder for him next week. And instead use my free transfer this week to go from Estupiñán to Reguilón.
Okay. Yeah.
Who plays in game week 29. And therefore I know, and has nice fixtures. We just talked about Brentford's fixtures. I know then that I can get through the next 4 weeks. Gives me another player guaranteed into game week 29. And that maybe just makes my transfer decisions a little bit easier moving forward, but I'm not sure yet.
All right. Well, listen, we're already jumping on to kind of what we're doing for next week and what the strategies kind of look like. But that's okay. I think that's all right. As we go through in context, it kind of makes sense. Shout out to Daniel Banks in the chat. Thank you, Daniel, for the comment. What was more horrible, Holgate's tackle or Tom Davis's haircut? Holgate's tackle was a shocker. Shout out to Tom Davis's haircut. Did you see it?
No. What did it look like?
Have a look at that. Basically just a strip down the middle of his head, all completely shaved, like proper, like zero bicked shaved, except for this really bad mohawk over the middle of his head. Daniel is absolutely right. It looks horrendous. It looks horrendous. But the Holgate tackle, I'm afraid, was worse. It was really awful. What else do you want? Let's do a couple more games. So Burnley 0, Arsenal 5. You're right not to overlook the single game week is at Arsenal. As an FPL manager that bought Saliba in this week, I was pretty happy to bank two clean sheets for Gabriel and Saliba.
Oh, I've just seen it.
What, Tom Davis's hair?
That is appalling.
Get over to Google and have a look at that, guys. It's not particularly good. So I was happy with the Arsenal clean sheet. I was kind of hoping for a bit of set piece. I thought at least one of them might pop up with a goal, given that was a bit of popular narrative in the lead up to this particular game. But Bukayo Saka, again, just, I don't know what Arsenal did out in Dubai or whatever they did in their kind of winter their winter camp out in Dubai. But since they've come back, they have been absolutely brilliant. And let me, you know, let's not go too crazy because the level of opposition, obviously the Liverpool result was brilliant. West Ham and Burnley have both been terrible. But Arsenal fans, you can only beat what's in front of you, and they are absolutely smashing teams at the moment. This could have been easily been more than five.
They're purring.
They are cooking.
And they... I was at Spurs when this game was going on, and my phone pings every time there's a Premier League goal. So every 2 minutes, I was like, Arsenal scored. And at one point, they scored very close after the second half kicked off, didn't they? And yeah. I went, it's been 14 seconds or something since it told me the game had kicked off. And the guy in front of me was like, and we then scored pretty much straight away. And he was like, oh, we can match them. And I'm like, we can't. They're just so,
they're so good,
so good right now. And I think I have Saliba and Saka, and I'm looking at Arsenal praying that Chelsea get knocked out of the FA Cup. Because I
you want them, don't you?
I would really, really like to treble up on Arsenal right now. Given I don't have any Spurs players in my team.
Yeah. Because they're not in the cup, right? We knocked them out.
They're knocked out of the cup. So if Chelsea go out, sorry, Harry, I appreciate I'm negging on Chelsea a lot tonight.
But it would help us massively in FPL.
But it would
really help
if Chelsea were Chelsea for that game and just went out the FA Cup, because then we'd get the Arsenal players. We'd also get Cole Palmer as well, of course. So it would make game week 29. Much, much easier to navigate.
Yeah.
And I think with Arsenal at the moment, I appreciate everything you just said about the fact that it was Burnley and West Ham in the last couple of weeks. But you can only beat what's in front of you. And they've not just beat them. They've absolutely smashed them both times. Like, it's not been like 1-0 unconvincing performance.
They're being
ruthless. They're dominant performances where they've gone out, they've taken the game, and they've controlled the game, and they've just put the opponents to the sword. They did it against Liverpool. They then went and did it against West Ham. And they've done it again against Burnley.
What's your view on a nice comment from Rob in the chat? Thanks, Rob Jones. It's great that we're sharing the goals around the team. Come on, you Gunners. So obviously, Rob's an Arsenal fan, and he's absolutely right. I mean, Saka's obviously highly owned, but then, you know, Odegaard starting to come to the party last couple.
Yeah.
Havertz, who I watched some of the highlights of this game. And I know he's had a lot of stick this season for, you know, settling in all the rest of it and a bit of, you know, it didn't quite work out from a Chelsea and stuff. And I need to look at it more. I need to analyse it. Maybe, Rob, you're the Arsenal fan, you can tell me. I think Havertz and his movement is the key to unlocking Arsenal's attacking fluidity. I honestly do. The way that that guy moves around the pitch is so intelligent that it goes massively under the radar from us in FPL, because he's not getting goals and assists. So none of us in the FPL community are going, we're getting Havertz, because we're going, well, it's Odegaard and it's Saka. I know Havertz has popped up here. Trossard again scores another good goal. What a brilliant buy he was in the summer. But the way that Havertz moves unlocks it for everybody else. And I just think he's a really, really intelligent player. And he's starting, you know, it was a bit trust the process at the beginning, wasn't it? Not quite working out for him. But I think Arteta, I think now, and maybe that's what they were working on in Dubai, I think the Havertz thing now is unlocking it all. And it's benefiting Saka and Odegaard in particular.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think there is a slight question mark for me as to when Gabriel Jesus comes back. What does that mean? How in terms of the way that they set up, when he starts starting. I guess the question I have with Arsenal is how do we double up on Arsenal? Because most of us are going to have a Saliba or a Gabriel, and then a Saka. That will be the majority of the investment.
So the question is,
what do you do? Do you go, okay, well, I'm going to add Gabriel to my Saliba pick and have the double defence? Or do you go, I'm going to look to add an Odegaard, a Martinelli, whoever it is that you want from the rest of the attacking players and add it to Saka?
Because this is the thing, you know, defensively have been so good this season, which is why I didn't really hesitate when I needed somebody to come in for Porro, I went for Saliba.
Couldn't also do the Man City thing because you already had your
The triple City up front, with the Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll go double Arsenal defence. If you're going to double up on any defence, you want it to be Arsenal, how good they've been this season.
Yeah.
And the set-piece threat, Burnley, etc, etc.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm sitting there on the back of these last couple of results and thinking, actually, maybe I've locked myself into something I don't want there because you've got so many forward options.
I don't think you have, because I think the defence, look, they're adding to the goal threat. Those defenders. I know that they didn't. Although Kivior got an assist, didn't he, this week?
I think he did, actually.
But, you know, normally Gabriel is great for attacking threats. Saliba racks bonus point underlying data really nicely. They keep a lot of clean sheets, more so than anybody else, really. There's not been that many clean sheets in the league, but Arsenal have way more than their fair share of them over the course of the season. So for me, I'm looking at it as with just Saka and Saliba, thinking I do need to treble up there, but how exactly am I doing that? And I'm not yet clear on whether the best option is to move from, say, a Stupinian to Gabriel, or whether my best option is to move one of my midfielders to another Arsenal attacker. And I'm not yet certain which way I want to go with that.
Again, me jumping around a little bit, should save this conversation towards the end of the pod, really. But captaincy for game week 26. Let's just have a look at that, because a lot will be looking at Ollie Watkins at home to Forest. Saka at home to this Newcastle defence.
Yeah.
Up against potentially Dan Byrne. I mean, that has got captaincy written all over it, hasn't it? I mean, if Arsenal continue the way that they have been the last three games, and Newcastle continue to defend the way that they've been defending, and when I watch some of the Newcastle highlights, it is so clear to me that Dan Byrne is massively exposed because Joe Linton's not there. Or the other guy in midfield. So Miley does an all right job, but they miss Joe Linton. And there's the other... Who's the other central midfielder for Newcastle? The chat will tell me. But whoever it is that comes out on Dan Byrne's side to cover for him, it's just not happening. And Dan Byrne's getting exposed time and time again. It wasn't quite as prevalent this weekend, but we've seen it in recent weeks. Mm. And up against an elite, you know, in-form player like Saka, I mean, right now, I think my bus captain, I think I've left it on, is Saka. I'm pretty sure my bus captain is Saka.
I don't know who
I don't mind
is.
Watkins, of course, because he's in great form as well, right? But Saka right now, bus captain.
I think
captain.
Mine's still on Haaland, because it's Bournemouth. Yeah, mine is still currently on Haaland.
Haaland's a kind of, you know, comfort blanket, isn't he? Because he's back now, and yeah, you could play him away. Of course you can captain him away at Bournemouth, of course you can. But I just think Saka at home to Newcastle is such a good option. Such a good option. Oh, the chat saying Bruno. Yeah, of course it is. Bruno Guimaraes, I think he's the other one that kind of comes over and covers. Anyway, whoever and whatever it is, the cover for Dan Byrne is not happening right now, and he's getting exposed. Let's go back to the game then. Arsenal, I think we've done everything we need to do on Arsenal, haven't we? They're good. Hold them.
They're good.
Great
Hold
fixtures.
Them. Invest in more of them.
They're really, really good. Move in on Ollie Watkins at the double. Good hold, isn't he? Despite all the other Tonys and Solankys and Haalands that we want.
Yeah.
You ain't selling Watkins, are you?
No.
Just not selling Watkins. Top overall for BPS amongst everyone so far this game week with 59 underlying BPS.
And
unreal. Really good performance.
Can't help but feel a bit disappointed this week.
With what?
With Watkins and Villa. Because they go two goals up and I don't really know why they don't kick, like, they didn't kick on in the way that in early on in the season, they would have absolutely kicked on and they'd have scored four or five in that game. Instead, they concede one. Blimmin' frustrating as a Martinez player this week.
It was his fault as well, though.
It was his fault, yeah. But they concede one. And I listened to, when we were driving home from Spurs on Saturday, I was listening to the beginning of the City game. But before that came on, they were doing an interview with Ollie Watkins, and Watkins was really interesting because he said, we are disappointed in the dressing room that this has finished 2-1. We feel we should have scored more goals.
Yeah.
So when I came home and watched the highlights, I looked for it and I thought, no, you're right. Mm. You really should have. There was a lot of opportunities.
Had one that was only just rolled out, right?
Yeah, but there was a lot of opportunities, and I think that they should have kicked on from it. So as a Watkins owner, I'm kind of sitting there going, look, don't get me wrong, I'm delighted with the points. A lot of people have sold him, so he's actually proving to be quite a nice rank booster for me right now.
Yeah, he didn't touch the size, did it, his points a couple of weeks
no.
ago? But actually this week,
yeah, this week
a little bit of green off of it.
It's a nice green out of the back of it. So I'm looking at him thinking, you're a long-term lock. The fixtures are nice.
Just too good at the minute. Yeah. He's too good. I think he's got to be on the plane in the summer as well, I think. His understanding with Tielemans as well in that team is so good. I mean, was it the first or the second goal where Tielemans puts him through? Oh, so and all right, you know, Fulham, big gaps in the defence, I get it. But he finds the gaps and Tielemans knows that he's going to find the gaps, so he plays the ball. And Ollie knows that he's going to get good passes. The understanding between them is amazing. And it's not a surprise that if you go back three or four, maybe even 5 weeks when Tielemans was out of the team, we were a little bit shaky on Ollie Watkins, weren't we? He wasn't quite, you know, he was sort of getting some points. And now that Tielemans is back, it is supercharging Ollie Watkins, and he's so, so good. So, so good. Where else do you want to go, Sam? Let's talk about your team. Spurs 1, Wolves 2. You went to the game. What happened?
We were really... It was almost like we'd been out on the booze the night before. Like we were really sluggish, really right. slow. Like everything was laboured. The passes were laboured. Everyone just seemed to get it and hold it for a second too long. Okay. As if they needed...
Why though? That's not usual for Spurs, though.
No, it's not normal for Spurs. If anything, it's the complete opposite of what we normally watch. And we were all in the crowd going, what on earth is going on? Move it faster, move it faster. And they weren't. And in part, I think that was because Wolves were doing a good job of appearing and being right on top of them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean just appearing from nowhere. But, you know, as soon they were putting pressure on constantly. And obviously that affects the way that Spurs can play their football, right? Mm. But they also were not on it. And it was, I think, a lot of it, and I don't like to say negative things about the nicest man in football because he's the nicest man in football. But Son looked like a man that was still carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders for most of that, particularly the first half. And he kept losing the ball and his head kept dropping and it just wasn't really working. And I think not having Porro and Udogie was absolutely... Yeah. crucial, because Royale was like, well, I don't even know how to describe him. He just was useless.
And then he's not match fit, Sam. Because
Ange doesn't
rotate. He plays Porro and Udogie because they're the best you've got.
Yeah.
And he plays them every week, and the other guys don't get a look in. So when they do come in, they're not fit.
Well, I sort of agree with what you've just said. Apart from that, Royale doesn't understand how to play that football, which is why he cannot. Yeah. Rotate him, because he can't, he doesn't know what to do. He can't defend, he can't get back, his ball possession is poor. So on that side we had a problem. On the other side we actually were better, because Ben Davis, that kid works his socks off, and he's not the attacking wing back that Udogie is, but he tried, and
he had one blazed over the bar,
and he had one late on that he could have put away as well. He was far more advanced than Son for most of that game, which was fascinating to me, because Son was dropping deeper and Ben was going forward, which I was kind of intrigued by. So the first half we were poor. They scored on the counter. They were excellent on a counter attack. They weren't attacking in the same way that they normally do in the weeks that we've seen, because they didn't obviously have Cunha up there. So that affected the way that they played a little bit. However, their counter-attack play was absolutely excellent. And were it not for a couple of amazing saves from Vicario, they could have been 2 or 3 nil up in the first half.
Yeah.
Second half, we came out like normal Spurs, all guns blazing for about 20 minutes, scored a goal, and then Postecoglou made the weirdest substitutions I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
And it completely threw... But at one point, he'd brought on Werner and Brennan Johnson. And Son looked at Ange as if to say, well, where am I then? Because he'd taken Richarlison off. Werner had gone over standing next to Brennan Johnson on the wing. It's like, well, you're clearly not supposed to be there, are you, Timo? So he ended up sort of in the middle. Eventually, the message came on to swap and it got sorted out. But we, in that moment... It was chaotic out there.
What are you doing with your Spurs assets in
none.
FPL?
I have none.
Oh, you don't have any? Do you don't have any?
I have none.
And Porro, presumably a lot of FPL managers selling him this week, so he's not going to be in too many more teams.
And Porro put out a tweet, an Instagram post saying, be back soon.
Okay.
But I don't think he'd be back that soon. You don't tend to post the back soon things if you're out for a week.
Do you think that the and I do want to talk about Wolves in a minute, because I thought they were really,
well,
really good.
They've got
good.
A great fixture.
We've got to talk
week.
About them in a minute. But do you think that the Richarlison thing? I've often thought that when he's playing as the main man, when he is the man,
yeah,
right. I think he thrives with that sort of responsibility and that and having that mentality. And maybe with Son back, maybe he doesn't feel quite as responsible.
So
I
will honestly say, I thought Richarlison was our best player.
Okay, all right.
He was our best player in this
game. Holding them.
He was everywhere. He ran. I'd like to see the running numbers. I think he ran further than anyone else. He was absolutely on it. He was chasing balls down. He was making Wolves make mistakes.
Okay.
In a way that the rest of them weren't. I think the interesting thing for me is now that obviously we've got 2 weeks off, I think we need that.
Yeah.
So that will help.
Okay.
Because then we come back into really nice fixtures from 27. Yeah. I've
got to dwell on this defeat for 2 weeks, though. You want to get back straight back in the saddle, don't you, really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I think 2 weeks off will actually do us some good. And I think coming back into it in 27, that's a really nice moment for us as FPL managers. Because, of course, we know that Spurs play in 29 and it's a nice fixture against Fulham. Mm. So we can then go, all right, transfers from 27, 28, we can look at Spurs investment.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Wolves because I thought they were absolutely sensational. I thought they were really, really good. What Gary O'Neill's doing there is brilliant. The two guys in midfield, obviously it's easy to point out João Gomes with the two goals, but his partner in crime, Lamina, the two of them worked their socks off.
They did,
off.
Yeah, they worked hard.
And what they did really, really well is they obviously knew that you haven't got Pedro Porro and Udogie, you've got two, your second choice fullbacks. So what those two did in the middle was they constantly got you wide into areas where Spurs didn't want to be. And then they pressed and they harried when you were out wide as well. So every time the ball came in the middle, get it out wide, get it out wide. And obviously, in those wide areas, they're really strong, right? Because you've got players like Neto, who for the second goal was absolutely, like, the. I know I wouldn't call it a tap-in for João Gomes. It's a good finish by João Gomes, but it is completely made by Neto. He is quality, by the way, Neto.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
He's the sort of player that I would love to sign next season at Liverpool. I think he'd fit into our system perfectly. If Mo goes in the summer, which I think he probably might, I wouldn't mind us going for Pedro Neto. I think he's a really top, top player.
I think the thing for me, watching, obviously I was hoping...
Sorry, Wolves fans, I know you like him.
I think for me, I was watching that game thinking who... I'd like to watch what... I was pleased to be going to this one because, one, obviously, I love going down there. But, two, it was against Wolves, who I am very interested in investing in.
Well, let's have a look at the fixtures. Yeah, Sheffield United at home next for Wolves. Decent.
Don't have the fixture yet in 29. So that is one of the negatives on my checklist. But the fixture in 26 is pretty perfect.
The one thing I will say about that 26 fixture is that I don't expect Sheffield United to go to Molineux and play, though. The way that Spurs set up against Wolves is almost like perfect for Wolves, isn't it? Because they were like, press heavy in midfield, counter-attack.
But the Sheffield United defence...
Yeah, you'd back them, wouldn't you? Yeah, you'd back
them. It's so poor.
No doubt.
It's so poor.
And then going
to
St James's Park, I mean, that could be a bit like the Spurs game, right? That could be a bit like the Spurs game.
I think, it's kind of, where do you go? Because João Gomes is obviously the one that returned this week, but I don't think he's the one you go for in FPL.
No, it's his first two goals, wasn't it?
Yeah,
not going for him in FPL,
I don't think you go there. I think it's Neto.
Absolutely.
That Huang's there again, early on in the season, Huang was... obviously the one we all went to. It's a bit disappointing about Cunha because I think he would have been popular.
You weren't having a Wolves forward over Tony, Solanke, Haaland and Watkins.
But I do think he would have been popular had he been fit. I think people would have eventually gone,
Maybe.
I can't invest there because I've got to go for a Darwin, I've got to go for a Solanke or a Watkins.
Yeah.
But I think he'd have been in the conversation.
Those with Jota, there will be thoughts of Neto. For those that have got Jota.
There should be thoughts of Neto.
I think so. So Wolves, very good. Probably their best performance of the season. I thought they were really, really good. What else to say, Sam? That's probably it.
That's probably it.
A quick shout out for the Luton defence, despite having a double game week, doesn't make him any good. Two goals down within 7 minutes to Rasmus Højlund. The second goal, does he mean that, Højlund? I think he does. I think it's a brilliant finish from Højlund.
Look.
Just smacks him on the chest and he like chests it in. That's so good from Højlund. I loved it. So United, say it quietly, on a little bit of a roll there.
They are.
Right?
Yeah,
looking
they are.
All right. And Højlund on a bit of a roll as well.
You're not getting him. If you're not going to look at these other assets that we've just been talking about.
You'd look at him over a Wolves forward though, wouldn't you?
Well, you would at the moment because Cunha's not available. But I don't think you're looking at him. How can you? Who are you going to sell? You're going to sell Haaland? No. You're going to sell Watkins? No. You're going to sell Solanke? No.
The one thing I'll also say is that for Garnacho owners, you are bang unlucky getting just an assist because he could have had some
massively.
Goals as well.
He could have hauled.
Absolutely could have had some
Although
goals.
The problem is a lot of managers that have got Garnacho probably benched him.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the Man United fixtures just while we're here because I haven't really looked at them in any depth, but it's Fulham at home next, which looks good. Then it's a Manchester derby, which, listen, we've seen... iconic Manchester derbies. Anything could happen in that
game. I doubt
this
one.
Anything. Well, I don't know. United are playing well. You just don't know. Going to the Etihad.
I don't know.
I'd back City, but you just never know. Everton at home, Sheffield United at home, Brentford away, and then the Chelsea game in 31. I mean, if you buy into that narrative I've just tried to spin there about anything can happen in the Manchester derby, Fulham, Everton and Sheffield United all at home, I can see Højlund being popular.
But I
not
just
because
think...
I think he's a better pick than those others, but he's a Man United pick, and we know what it's like in FPL
course,
when a Man United player comes to the fore.
I just think if you're going to invest in Manchester United, the obvious pick is to go for Garnacho because he's a midfielder and he's uber cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. He is super cheap and he does enable so much, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's a midfielder, not a forward.
You want to go to Mo, then Garnacho's worth a look, isn't he? Yeah. He's worth a look.
Go from Jota down to Garnacho and you're laughing.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. That's all the game, Sam. Obviously, we've got three left to go. Everton Palace, City, Brentford and Liverpool, Luton.
I'm quite glad we're not here for Everton Palace. That feels like it's got snooze fest written all over it. You watch that be game of the week now, I've said that.
Game of the week. I think we've already had game of the week. There were some sensational games. I thought the City game was good. I really thought your game was good. And Arsenal were fantastic. So we've had some good games this week. Lots of goals knocking around, as usual. Just before we get to our teams, guys, a quick shout out to our Patreon community. Many of you are here tonight in the live chat and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel. So patreon.com/FPL family. If you want a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives, if you'd like some bonus podcasts, if you'd like some Manager of the Month competitions, if you'd like one-to-one Zoom calls with Sam and I talk about your team like I did with Joseph earlier in the week, then that is the place to go and get those things. patreon.com/FPL family, and the links and stuff are all in the description below as usual. And then a further shout out to our current leaders in the Manager of the Month February, former champion Nathan Joblin, currently in at 181, looking very, very good indeed. Of course, these are the scores as of the end of game week 24, so these do not include any points from current game week 25 because we're not finished yet. Ian Lambert in with 173, Sean and Franklin, so we've got a tie for third with 170. So still plenty of football to go, plenty of Premier League stuff to go in February. So loads of time for Ian, Sean, Franklin and others to catch Nathan in that top spot. But already a reasonably commanding lead. What is that? 7-8 points that Nathan's got over Ian. So a decent lead there, Nathan. A decent lead. Like it, mate. Like it. So patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to join our community over there, podcasts, Slack access, Zooms, competitions, loads of good stuff. Loads and loads of good stuff. And our Manager of the Month competitions, it doesn't matter if you are having a really bad season. If you're having a terrible season, we reset every single month. So we get to the first of the month, we reset the scores to zero and we just do a monthly competition. Doesn't affect your FPL team in any way. But if you're having a bad season, that is a nice way to keep going on a month-to-month basis. And you get prizes, right? I get prizes. I sent out a Liverpool shirt to Warwick as well this week, so I've got more shirts. I'm giving away shirts left, right and centre, Sam. Left, right and centre. Another Liverpool shirt, by the way. Just saying. Lots of patron supporters wanting the Liverpool shirts. Let's get to our team, Sam. Let's do me first. A decent green arrow so far. 60 points with the triple captain in play. I've got Doughty, Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland. And I'm hoping Darwin still to play again, but doesn't look particularly likely against Luton at home. So 60 points, an overall rank of 49k, which is pretty good. I'm happy with that as it stands. And a green arrow of 11.8%. So not huge, but at this stage we'll take it. Don't think there's anybody that can really hurt me. I'd love for City not to keep a clean sheet again against Brentford.
I don't want that.
The player that would have hurt... Tony could hurt a little bit. Jota as well if he recovers, but it doesn't look like he's going to recover. So it's really only Tony and a City clean sheet that can hurt. So I'm hoping that green arrow is going to stick. 49k is a good base on which to work from for the rest of the season. As you guys might know, and I certainly spoke about it on Ohana last week, maybe I did it here on the live stream last week as well, I was looking to do my free hit in game week 26. That was definitely a strategy I was looking at. I was looking to bring in more Liverpool players this week to maximise that, and then free hit...
Yeah, because originally
next week,
it was going to be Van Dijk or Robertson. You spoke about
I was looking at a Liverpool defender. I was looking at both of those players. In the end, it was the fact that, you know, Liverpool do give up chances. Arsenal's defence is pretty elite. I thought, in the end, I'm going to move away from my free hit 26 strategy and instead going to bring in Saliba. I think the Porro injury had something to do with it as well.
The Porro injury would have affected that, because if you change it for a player that plays in 26, then you're one... less problem, aren't you?
For sure. Yeah, that did influence my thinking, I must say. So going into 26, I still have problems, right? I've still got Doughty and I've still got Richarlison and I've got Darwin and I've got Palmer and Gusto. So I've got five problems to deal with going into game week 26. Now, I'm going to take a hit. I didn't take any hits this week. Haven't for a couple of weeks. So what I'm going to do is take a hit. I'll use my free transfer, use a hit, and then I'll bench the other three, basically. So it's just
deciding which three you want to keep.
So it's deciding which three I want to keep. A Palmer and Richarlison, for sure, I'm going to keep. And then the third one, I don't know yet. Do I want to keep Darwin? Probably not if he's got a long-term injury.
Doughty's got the double.
And Doughty's got the double. So it's either going to be Darwin or Gusto. And if I'm going to sell two of the three, it is going to be those, I think.
Yeah.
Gusto's going to go for... I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. I haven't really looked at it. But Darwin to Solanke just feels just so obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And bringing him in ahead of the City game on paper doesn't look amazing. But as you rightly said, he can score in that game, Solanke. And then he's got the amazing double. And then he's got some great fixtures after the double. I just think it's just such a good pick for the next sort of 3, 4, 5 weeks, Solanke. So I will be getting Darwin to Solanke almost certainly. And then Gusto will go to another defender, probably someone that plays in 29, if I can help it, probably.
Yeah.
So that's it. I've moved away from free hit 26. Going to see how this one pans out now in 25. Somehow struggle through 26 with 11 players, one of whom's a Stupinan, which is a bit of a concern. But we will get some points in 26. There will be some points, but I will have saved the free hit in favour of just taking a minus four next week. That is my plan. But anyway, 49k, 60 points, all good. Happy with that so far. Very nice week from you, Sam, so far. Very nice week. A nice green arrow from 42.4% up. 72 points with the triple captain still in play. Overall rank slashed from somewhere like 150k to 88k. Very nice week so far. Talk us through it.
I was stressed, Lee. I was so stressed this week. I found it hard because I just knew I didn't have a route to Liverpool and I really wanted one. And I couldn't.
Jota?
Apart from Jota.
Right.
And I just couldn't do it. And I wanted Foden and I couldn't work out how to do that. And I wanted Rodri and I couldn't work out how to do that. And everything I looked at created me further headaches. And I just thought, I have to be brave and just do the sensible thing.
Yeah.
Which is to get Ake. Because Porro was injured. I didn't want to play any of my bench options, although Charlie Taylor making an appearance has made me so happy. I know he got naught. I don't care. He made an appearance.
Daniel Banks is in the chat. He's saying, Charlie Taylor's back. Get the champagne
Charlie
out.
Taylor, I love you so much. I can't begin to tell you because that
back
decision...
just in time.
He is back perfectly in time for when I need him. Unlike a Stupinian, who's not around when I need him. Superman Charlie Taylor absolutely is. So yeah, Charlie look, my front line... For me, Dominic Solanke around my rank was owned by 16% of managers.
Course,
so those
nice.
12 points...
Very jammy 12 points.
Shut
but, you know,
up! He could have easily been another 8. He could have had 20 points, Solanke. I'm delighted with that. I can't... So, do you know what's really frustrating is I'm so happy with how my week has gone. I check my... And I never do this anymore. I've taught myself out of looking at live FPL during the week. And I only look at it now before we come on here. And I looked at it and I was like, that is a phenomenally good green arrow. I've survived...
If I do say so myself.
I've survived the first round of Tony and not having Tony, not having Darwin and not having Foden. Obviously, they could all still punish me depending upon where we are with Darwin. But I've survived round one of it, so that's fine. It may or may not stick. It depends what happens. I've got 5 potentially playing again.
Yeah.
We'll see whether Jota makes it.
Jota's out.
I doubt it.
Jota's out.
I suspect that Jota's gone. Jota will be probably my transfer out this week. But what infuriates me is that I've had this like super, super week. And then I look at the leagues that I... Obviously, I'm delighted with the overall rank change. But I look at the leagues I care about and... Your green, like I've captured you a little bit this week so far. You've still got a nice green arrow that's moved you further forward. Jules and Kelly have done the same. And it's like one of those, isn't it? Where you then kind of go, oh, I'm pleased with the overall rank. But my league place is in my mini league.
You're going to get, Sam, this is, so we've been sitting here saying it for weeks. Game week 25, 26, even up to 30. This is blank, double and chip territory, which means the proper FPL managers. This is where we come to the fore. And if you start looking at those mini leagues that have got those sorts of people in it, we're all going to go like that because the masses don't know what to do.
No, I know that. But I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like for me...
I went on Fanzone on Friday. And I did a shout out to anyone that watched Fanzone on Friday. and I was asked to comment on Clinton Morrison's team.
Right.
And so I was just like, you know, and you know, Haaland's got two games, and you know, looks like a good triple captaincy option. And they went, oh, are you going to triple captain Haaland this week? And I went, yeah, it's the obvious one, I think, and I don't think we're going to get a better chance to do it, and he's not going to get two better games. And they went, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Clinton, you should do that too. This is how the masses think, Sam.
No,
they've either spent the chip already,
no,
or they don't even know that Haaland's got double game week.
No, I understand that, but I hate losing.
Right, okay.
I hate, right. And I didn't realise how competitive I was in FPL until this season, particularly in that pod league, because normally I beat them. So because they're both beating me this year, hating it. I am hating it so much, I can't even tell you.
It comes across as well on the pod when you and Jules get into one. Because he's really like...
But he knows it's winding me up.
He loves it,
so he winds me up. And I hate it so much.
What rank is he at, by the way?
4,000.
He's at 4K.
4,400.
That's unreal.
And I cannot cope.
He's got Rodri.
Honestly,
Oh God.
I can't cope with it. I can't cope with losing, and it's doing my nutting that I can't catch them.
I've got his team bookmarked. I'm even going to have a look at who else he's got. It's everything he
touches
turns to gold. It's unreal.
But yeah, it does.
Obviously, he's got Watkins. Had Saka, which kept.
He didn't have Solanke, so that helped me.
Didn't have Solanke, so you jammed a few points out of it.
It's not jamming.
Rodrigo 10. Yeah, Rodri 10. He's 67. That's an all right week. He's done okay. You've gained a little bit on him.
But not enough. I've gained 5.
Well, what do you want? You expect him to get up into 5K, are you?
No. I wasn't. But I wanted him to come back a bit.
Right.
That's what I wanted. If he comes back, I could make a little bit. The thing, and that, this is why, when I was on my triple captain decisions, I was so close to putting on KDB, and I got very, very close to doing it, because it was the one thing that I thought that could catch it. That could catch.
Yeah.
And I wasn't brave enough, because the other part of my brain said, you'll tank your rank.
Mm. All right, so there we go. 72 points with plenty to play. Overall rank 88K, so back inside the top 100K where you belong, which is superb and really, really nice looking green arrow,
even if it was
a little bit jammy with the Solanke points.
My God.
Let's move on to what's coming up this week. So obviously, we're away for a couple of weeks now, so probably dialing back the FPL content for a couple of weeks while we have a bit of a break. Including this live stream next Sunday. We won't be here. We'll be here the following Sunday. But you'll still be doing the podcast and all that sort of stuff with Kelly and Jules, right?
Oh, I can't bring myself to miss those.
Yeah. What stupid time o'clock have you got to wake up to do that?
No. To be fair to Mr. Laurent,
right?
He has moved his rest of his day around so that I don't have to get up quite so early. So the original plan was for me to have to record at 4 a.m.
Right, okay. Good luck with that.
That's a 4 a.m. start, by the way.
To be fair, you might be up. Because your body clock will be up.
So that was the original plan. He's moved the rest of his day around so that we can start the record at 5 a.m, which will be much better for me. It means I'll get a proper night's sleep. Although we did discover there's extra magic hours that night, so I could go to bed at 1 a.m. and get up at 4 for the pod at 5. So I will be doing both podcasts while I'm away. That is the plan, unless I have any major tech issues. That is the current plan. I've got to pack my mic away in a minute and take it with me. The rest of the content, as he says, we won't be doing, but we come straight back into a massive week for us. Mm. So we'll be back on that Sunday. We'll do a live stream, hopefully that Sunday, as long as the flight goes well. And then that week, I'm on Off the Bench, the Fantasy Show, and we're both on Sky Sports News, as well as the main pod.
Lovely. And by then, you'll be up into 5K, in and around the same rank as Jules Laurent, I'm absolutely sure. Guys, thank you for joining us. This evening, if we'd said at the beginning of the stream, thank you to everyone that subscribed recently. We're over 26K now, so thank
Yay,
you for that.
Thanks, guys.
And if anybody still hasn't subscribed, then it's the big red button just underneath the video there. And also the option there to join us as a member on the stream as well. That button's right next to the subscribe button. But if you do nothing else, guys, we'd love you to leave us a like before you go. Obviously, it helps us to get found by other content creators, other audiences. Helps us with the YouTube algorithms, all that sort of stuff. So if there's nothing else you can do, leave us a like before we go. We'd love you to do that. Good luck for the remaining 3 games of game week 25. Feels like a bumper. It's already been like a bumper rollercoaster game week, isn't it?
And then, of course,
and then, of course, we've got blank game week 26 as well on the horizon, which is going to be tough to navigate, very tough to navigate. But this, as I said before, this is where you guys, the engaged FPL managers, come to the fore. This is when the cream rises to the top, Sam. This is where the FPL community does their thing and we get the green arrows that we all deserve for the work that we put in. That was quite impassioned, wasn't it? Did you like that?
I don't even know how to respond to
like
that.
Right, I'm all giddy for my holiday. We're off now for a couple of weeks. We will see you on the other side, guys. Good luck with game week 25. And yeah, leave us a like before you go. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.